I'm going to need a lot of mercy from you tonight. Because do you remember the last time we were together on this night, on this topic? Yeah. I told you guys, because we were barreling down the study, and I said, you know what? Do I stop or do we pick it up next week? You said, pick it up next week. And so I said, okay, we're going to do it. I completely forgot that I was going to be away, and we were also going to have Chris McKenna sitting down with us and having a special time together. So we're back at it. I wasn't lying. I just forgot. But here we are back in it tonight. So Father God, we pray that you would cause us somehow, Lord, over these weeks of being separated, and we get back into this, I think it's part four of this study together, that you just cause this to be seamless in our hearts, in our spirit, in our soul, in our minds. Lord, bring these things to our remembrance. And Father, as we go through things that are important for us to know, give us that ability tonight to have an atmosphere whereby it's as though we're sitting around a coffee table and we're looking into the scripture. And maybe for some people it might be, yeah, that's just a little too deep for me. Or it could be, wow, I didn't know the Bible was that exact. Thank you, Lord. We cannot study your word enough. Truly, as the ancient rabbis would say, when the Messiah returns, he will not only explain all the scriptures perfectly, but he will even interpret the spaces between the words. That's precious. Do that in our hearts tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, you can remain seated for now. And we are in part four of this message during our applied series. The applied series that we are now doing on Wednesday nights, we're going to do our best to look at, we can't say all things Bible prophecy because that would take years. As you know, 27 to 33% of your Bible is prophetic in nature. But we're going to cover a lot of key top Bible prophecy issues. And one of the early ones that we have started with is this one of the doctrine of the Antichrist. And we are labeling this little series within the series, the days of the Antichrist, D-A-Z-E. And he's a man that you guys well know is the ultimate deceiver. The Bible tells us that he's going to be manipulated. He'll be puppeted by Satan himself. He's known as the son of perdition. The only other one in the Bible that goes by that title is the man Judas Iscariot, who betrayed Jesus. Of course, Satan entered Judas, and the Bible teaches us that Satan will enter the Antichrist. The Bible teaches that the Antichrist is a human. He's not a superhuman. He's not sort of a hybrid. He's a human being. But he will be useful and open to the workings of the Antichrist, or the workings of Satan as being the Antichrist. He will yield his will in some way, shape, or form to the end time events that Satan is seeking to bring onto the world scene. So tonight, as we look at some of these things, we're going to be looking at portions of scripture that you may have never read before. Because I'm going to be honest with you, it's not that you can't know these things. It's that if you don't spend a lot of time studying this particular topic, there'd be no reason for you to have it stand out and stick to your heart or to your head or to your mind. So I see this gentleman taking pictures of the notes. I encourage everyone to do this right now. I'm going to give you so many notes, it's just going to overwhelm you tonight. So many verses that it'd do you well to get these notes from the QR code onto your device, and you'll have them there forever. So before we get going, I want to put something up that popped up on the news, and maybe you saw it, and a lot of people are commenting about it. And immediately, I'm not going to say the young man's name. I love him. But he's very well known in America. He's in American media, in the news, has his daily news program. He said, Pastor, I need to know what you think about this. And as I looked at it, I first of all had my thought, and I'll tell you about it in a moment. And then I told him, I said, I would stand down if I were you and not report on this yet. There's just something odd about it. Maybe some of you already picked up on what I'm talking about. But it is this right here. So, Daily Mail US. Okay, I'm not going to say anything about the Daily Mail US, but listen to this. Okay, first of all, let's look at the image. There's a lot of talk right now as the congressional hearings are actually heating up. They've been going now for nearly 2 years, maybe over 2 years, regarding the congressional investigation on UAPs, or otherwise used to be known as UFOs. And some of the things that we have heard about, and I've had the opportunity to be with, I'll just say, members on that committee, asked me what my thoughts were when I was in Washington. They said, can we talk to you? Can we ask you? And they were believers, and they wanted to know. We're born-again believers in Jesus. We're on the committee. We're looking at these things. We're seeing the footage. We've even gone to air bases, and we've seen materials. And they're telling us they're aliens, but we're believers. We're Christians, and we don't believe that. We believe they're demonic. What do you think, Pastor? And I told them, that's exactly what I believe. I believe this is demonic stuff, demonic activity. I don't believe in little green men popping up, in showing up. I believe in deception engineered by Satan, who is so crafty and so powerful that he can even cause, for example, in the court of Pharaoh, he could cause the staff of Pharaoh's magicians to turn into snakes. And they were clearly so physically tangible that God turned Moses' staff into a snake, and Moses' snake ate up Pharaoh's snakes. Now, if someday we'll come back to this topic and some of the things that are being studied regarding these UAPs in Ohio and in other parts of our nation, in Virginia and other spots. But these who are in the know are saying, we have seen things and we have touched things that are not of this world. That's hard for us to handle, even though we love going to the theater to watch a sci-fi. We like it if it's on the screen. But if it's something where you're hearing where it could be real, that's a little too unnerving. I would submit to you tonight, church, that those things that may arise in the future will be of demonic origin. And you will either choose to believe God and what he says, or you're going to believe a lie. But watch this. Here's where it starts. This is why this is making a ruckus. It's not the image. We've seen this stuff before. Religious leaders told, prepare now for UFO disclosure to unleash Bible-changing revelations. Let that sink in for a moment. When I read that, I thought, this is fake. This is fake. I'm just saying, I think it's fake. But let's say it is fake. I don't care if it's fake or not fake. Let's talk about the headline. In light of living in the days of the Antichrist, not that we are now, I wouldn't be surprised, though, if that guy's alive somewhere in the world right now. Wouldn't surprise me a bit. But look at that statement. Religious leaders told, prepare now. So I started to look up, what religious leaders? I didn't get a call. Franklin Graham didn't get a call. Don't you think they would have called Dr. David Jeremiah or somebody? Who are these religious leaders? I don't know. But they were told to prepare now. Why? Oh, because what's going to be revealed and disclosed about UFOs is going to unleash Bible-changing revelations. Hello, excuse me. There are no Bible-changing revelations. The Bible will never change. It will always be the truth. In fact, whatever is revealed will be judged in light of the Bible. Not what is revealed will judge the Bible. And if you know the Word of God, you know that that's true. If you don't know the Word of God, good luck, because that's all you got. Unless you stay up all night tonight and read the Bible, which maybe you should. But church, we've looked at these things, that the fact that there's a war for the souls of mankind, that's one of Satan's great ploys, is to blind you and rob you and to kill and to destroy you, not only physically, that is just a means to an end, because he wants to destroy you spiritually. Satan wants to keep you bound up, never coming to the knowledge of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And so he's out on a war campaign to steal and to blind and to take your soul if you're not a Christian. Thank God if you are. Raise your hand if you're a Christian and your soul is safe in the hands of Jesus Christ. You have been marked by the Holy Spirit. Did you know that? The Bible says in the book of Ephesians that God has placed upon you the seal of the Holy Spirit. That means that seal cannot be broken. That means if you have salvation, you can never lose it. You just better make sure you have it, okay? Make sure you have it. But God seals you, the Bible says, unto the day of redemption. Wow. Lisa and I were watching a program the other day. Actually, it wasn't even a program. It was on YouTube, and it caught our eye, and it was talking about things of the 1960s. And it was fun. Coca-Cola and Oscar Mayer hot dogs. And the song was being sung, and all these things were going on. And I remember that. And then they came to the green stamp redemption. Remember that? We've talked about this in messages in the past, but we went, aww. But man, I remember having those books and licking those things and putting them in those books. And then you take it down to the redemption store. Life was good. I didn't care where it came from. My mom and dad would just hand me green stamps. I'd put them in the book, go down to the green stamp redemption store, and you would hand over all those things and you get a brand new Tonka truck. Life was good. That was amazing. Redemption. Redemption. And we looked at all of these old things that brought back all these memories, but that was one that really stood out. God is all about redeeming your soul. And you need, if you're not redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, you need to make sure that that happens to you. You should do it right away. You know, Danny led us in that song tonight about the Lord, and there were some words that meant that he's coming back, and you know, we're ready tonight. Let's, you know, backstage, I said, let's go now. I hope you're ready to go now to see him. The second thing we saw is that truth will be the only weapon against deception. There's no other truth, friends, and there's no other weapon against deception but this Bible truth. If you're a believer or not, if you are an atheist or not, the fact of the matter is you must look it up in the dictionary that the word deception is there. It's real, and it's happening in all kinds of areas. If it happens in one area, it's possible that it can happen in any area, and I believe that. And most importantly, if deception is real, you can only have deception if there's truth. Think about it. You can't have anything that's false unless you first have something that's true. Goodness has to precede badness. Did you know that? I'm not just saying it because I want it to be true. I'm saying it because that is a fact. Good always precedes bad. Light advances in the darkness. Darkness cannot advance in the light. Did you know that? And the Bible tells us that God is good. And this is where we left off last time, and that is the rise of a global worldview in the way that we think. It's happening now. It's been happening for a long time, and it's continuing, and it's going to continue. And we look at the world in which we're in and some of the things that are going on in the area of deception. Revelation chapter 13, beginning at verse 1, I'll read it to you. I want you to put your thinking cap on because here we go. John said, then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And on his 10 horns, that's the 10 horns, always in the Old and New Testament, horns are kings. And on his heads, a blasphemous name, singularly. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. That's right out of the book of Daniel, folks. The dragon gave him power. Who do we know the dragon to be from the Bible? What does the Bible say? Who the dragon is? Satan. And the dragon gave him his power. So the Antichrist is going to have power. He's going to have a throne. He's going to have great authority. And I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded. Did you hear that? One of his heads will appear to be, or that it had been, mortally wounded. Look at two words that are key to our biblical interpretation. Look at this. And in fact, I'll read this slowly. I'll exaggerate it. Verse 3. And I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded. Did you hear me? Did you get that? Something, according to this, right now, right? We don't know much. We're just reading it. Whoever this Antichrist figure is and the scope of his domain, his rule, there's going to be 10 kings, but we know from Daniel and the book of Revelation that he will rise out of the midst of these 10 leaders, he will be one who comes up, not of them, but among them. And the Bible tells us he puts them down and he will take control. But from this verse is a very, very, maybe it's too insightful. Maybe you don't want to hear this, but I think it's good for you to know the technology of the Bible. He is going to appear to have a mortal head wound. That means he's going to have a head wound, but he's not going to die. It's as if it was mortal. You're reading it right there with me. You're looking at it with me together. And his deadly wound was healed, and all the world marveled and followed the beast. Could I just insert this suggestion? Is it possible that Satan mimics for the Antichrist a type of what looks like a resurrection? Instead of or in the place of Jesus Christ and his sacrifice? I'm just saying, maybe, who knows? Verse 4 says, and wounded and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world marveled and followed the beast. Seems to be some form of loyalty spike after this apparent assassination. Verse 4, so they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who's like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Awesome. And he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And he was given authority to continue 42 months. Church family, I know it was a long time since we've been together, but I gave you a bunch of scriptures in Daniel regarding verse 5. And that is almost verbatim right out of the book of Daniel. He's one who speaks pompous words, Daniel says, and he blasphemes the God of heaven and God's people. Verse 6, then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. And it was granted to him to make war with the saints and overcome them. I want all of you to take notes of this right now, please. Are you guys listening? This is important. There are people who say that's the reason why they believe the church must go through the tribulation period is because Satan will be given power to the Antichrist to destroy the saints. You got that, everybody? I understand that. If you don't read all of the Bible, you're going to come away with that. But write down in your notes. It's not going to be on my notes as far as I can tell, as far as I remember. Write this down right next to that verse, please. Daniel 7:21. Daniel chapter 7, verse 21. It says, and power was given to him that he should destroy the saints of God. Has nothing to do with the church. These are tribulation saints. Will you write that down, please? These are believers during the tribulation period. Do you remember the 144,000 Jews who preached the gospel, males, to all those in the world? John says there were so many converts that you can't even count them all. That's who he's talking about. Those of the nations who come to faith in Christ via the ministry of the 144,000 evangelists in the book of Revelation, power is given to the Antichrist to kill them. In fact, I think you guys know, you're going to hear about it in a moment, he's got a certain mode of how they should be killed. He likes it. He prefers it. And so it goes on in the middle of verse 7, and authority was given to him over every tribe, tongue, and nation, and all who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb. That's kind of a cool statement because all those who dwell on the earth, there's two different groups of people mentioned in that one verse there. There are those who dwell on earth, and then there are those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life, isn't there? Which implies those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life do not dwell on the earth. Hear me carefully. Even though you and I live here right now, do we dwell on this earth? According to God's word, our citizenship is in
heaven.
We're simply here ministering the gospel of God. We're not home yet. We're going home someday. Does that make sense to you? You're not an earth dweller. We are a heaven dweller. We happen to be here. We actually are here, as C.S. Lewis put it, that God has sent us into enemy-occupied territory as Christians. That's war talk, friends. And the war talk is this. We are preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to every man, woman, and boy and girl possible so that we can snatch from the filthy, dark crown of Satan souls that he has kept bound. And it's the light of the gospel that sets them free. And Satan hates that. I was so excited today. I'm going to get off track here. So excited. We did an announcement today on the Real Life Network because we are now getting these sermons on Sundays and Wednesdays. It's already now, you know this in Spanish. It it's going to go way better now in Russian, in Farsi, in Arabic, in Hebrew, Russian, and something else. And that's just the beginning. That is just the beginning. And it dawned on us, the company that does this stuff, it's crazy because their computers are so powerful with AI that when I'm speaking, it's so quick that it uses my voice and I'm speaking Arabic with my voice in perfect Arabic. And it even has a dialect where you can tell this guy, this is AI, the good way. This guy is an American speaking from Southern California in Arabic. We can know that by the dialect, but it's perfect Arabic. The AI does that. It's so fast, you can't even tell. That's both scary and awesome. I attribute that kind of technology to be able to reach millions of people every day. Every day, everybody. Millions of people around the globe every day. Do you know what I attribute this to? Jesus is coming back soon. That's why we're able to do this. Jesus is coming back soon. He has turned up the heat and he's made more opportunity. What an amazing time we live in. Church, seize the moment. Go for Jesus. Incredible. And if anyone, verse 9, and if anyone has an ear to hear, let him hear. He who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Then I saw another beast. So this is another bad one. Different than the first one. A second one. Coming up out of the earth. And he had two horns like a lamb. And spoke like a dragon. This is the false prophet. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast. That's the Antichrist. In his presence. And causes the earth and those who dwell in it. To worship the first beast. Whose deadly wound was healed. Spent a lot of time on that. But you now know this, that the Antichrist, not that we're going to see him, but you can use this to witness to people, that God's so in control that all these things are playing out according to God's revealed word. You say, Jack, I don't understand that. Yes, you do. It hasn't happened yet, but God's word is right before you in the book of the Bible, right here in the book of Revelation, and God tells you about it in advance before it happens so that you know that God is the one that's in control. I love that. And so, Jesus spoke, as we might have mentioned before, that Jesus spoke regarding the disciples as they went out and preached the gospel, that as they preached the gospel, he saw Satan fall from heaven. I love that. When we obey God, Satan loses. I want you to think about that for a moment. Why is it, Pastor, it's so hard to obey God? Well, actually, it's not. I understand the struggle, but it's much more easier to obey than to disobey God. Think that through for a moment. It's hard. The Bible says the way of the backslider is hard. It's easier to obey God. Amen. But in the moment, the voice, listen, the flesh, our voice, the temptations of the world are yelling at us. It's easier to respond to the yelling. God speaks in that what? Still, small voice. He's training our ear to hear him. I'm not going to go through the scriptures we went through last time together. We looked at the nature of Satan in Ezekiel 28, and we looked at the nature of Satan as he's revealed in the book of Isaiah chapter 14. But I will jump into this right now where we left off, and it is this. I'm calling it the lightning round on my notes. It's page 5. And it's things, maybe even strange things, but necessary things that we need to know about this one called the Antichrist. So if you're ready, the Bible teaches us that he will arise in the future. We read it a moment ago. It's Revelation 13, 1 and 2. When he says, then I stood on the sand of the sea, this is humanity, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea. Whenever you, and by the way, it's Hebrew, not the language. This is in Greek. But the Hebrew mindset is this, that the Gentile world is pictured as being the seas. Unclean, dangerous, tumultuous. Interestingly enough, in eternity, there will be no, what?
Seas.
Now, there'll be, I'm sure, vast bodies of water. There's rivers and all that stuff. But in the Hebrew worldview, in the biblical worldview, in the Hebrew mind, seas are places that are unpredictable. They're things of the world. That's been thought by the Jews for thousands and thousands of years in their thinking. Isn't it interesting? John says, then I stood on the sand of the sea and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, out of the Gentile world, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his head 10 crowns, and on his heads blasphemous names. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard, and we read this very quickly. Leopard. It's the feet of a bear and the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him this power, his throne, and great authority. The rise of the Antichrist is yet future. There is going to be some form of political union whereby it might involve all the nations of the world, most of the nations of the world. I don't really know and I don't really care. But out of them, there'll arise 10 horns, 10 leaders. When you see, if you're not a Christian tonight, and you're living during a time period where 10 members of this international committee has been formed to bring in world peace, you should have listened to us tonight. Because I plan on being gone. I do not believe from the Bible that the church will see the Antichrist. I don't think. Based on 2 Thessalonians, he can be revealed until the church is removed. He will become a willful partner to Satan's plan. Daniel chapter 11, verse 36 tells us, then the king shall do according to his own will. He shall exalt and magnify himself above every god. Oh my goodness. That's 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. He shall speak blasphemies against the God of gods and shall prosper till the wrath has been accomplished. That is, the 7-year tribulation period is known as the wrath of God. For what has been determined shall be done. And all God's people said, amen to that. What has been written, what has been determined by God shall be done. Jesus said not one hyphen or one comma of the language of the Bible, of God, will not pass away till all things are fulfilled. Amen. Amazing. In fact, I referenced 2 Thessalonians 2, specifically verses 9 and 10. So we jump way ahead, thousands of years, to the New Testament. The coming of the lawless one, the Antichrist, is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who are perishing. That is a terrifying couple of verses. It means this: there's going to be a time when people will not care what the Bible says. This guy down the street is doing miracles by some magic potion, some voodoo Hindu gods, witchcraft, whatever. I don't care because my child is blind. Hear me out. My child is blind. Or my leg, I've had a stroke. And this guy down the road, he's healing people miraculously. I know his doctrine's off and he preaches a different Jesus, but I'm going to go. Do you hear this? Think about it, everybody. Don't think you're so spiritually muscular that that would never come into your wheelhouse of thinking. Wait a minute. If you don't know the truth that will anchor you and protect you, then you're going to be swept away. But watch this. Even if you're anchored, if there's a man performing miraculous things in the name of some other god or gods, and your child, think about it, your child has cancer. What if you hear that your child has cancer, and 3 months from tonight, there's some charlatan that comes to town and says, I'm sent by God. I'm just like Jesus. I'm one of those guys. And so bring your child here. And everybody's like, oh, what a clown. Who's this loser? And then the guy heals your child. Can you imagine the news, the headlines the next day? Are you guys hearing me? Deception. Because people will want it. They won't care. If you say to somebody, but that's deception, they'll say, get lost. My son had cancer. Now he's well. It's all good. I'm going after him. Are you hearing me? Jesus said those days are going to come so much so that if it were possible, even the very elect of God would be deceived. Wow. Can you stand firm in the word of God when everybody else is yelling at you, telling you you should go down the street and get your kid touched by this prophet of the gods? Wow. That's a hard thing. Think about it. Next, we're going to look at the fact that he is going to be brilliant, shrewd, and cunning. Daniel chapter 7, verse 7 and 8 tells us, after this I saw in the night visions, Daniel is speaking, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible. By the way, fourth beast, stop right there. If you guys care, I don't know. I'm going to say it anyway. Fourth beast. So the first beast is the Babylonian Empire in the book of Daniel. First beast, Babylon. Second beast was the Medo-Persian Empire. By the way, the Babylonian Empire was defeated by the Medo-Persian Empire. And then the Medo-Persian Empire was defeated by the Grecian Empire under Alexander the Great. And then Alexander the Great and the Grecian Empire was defeated by a fourth kingdom. That fourth kingdom is the Roman Empire. It's the only empire, by the way, that was divided into two branches, an eastern and western flank. That's important. It appears in the Bible. That said, tell me now, who defeated the Roman Empire?
Nobody.
Oh, good class. No one ever defeated the Roman Empire. It's never been defeated. As of tonight in the 21st century, right here, now, it's never been defeated. According to God's Bible, the Roman Empire is still somehow intact. Isn't that creepy? It's going to come back. The fourth kingdom will be the rise or the resurrection of the ancient Roman Empire. It's never been defeated. For a lot of reasons, by the way. The Bible talks about a city that is connected to the Antichrist that sits on seven hills. Interesting. That's Rome. And so a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, exceedingly strong. It had huge iron teeth, and it was devouring, breaking in pieces, and trampling the residue of its feet with its feet. And it was different from all the beasts that were before it. And it had 10 horns, 10 kings. I was considering the horns or kings, and there was another horn. That makes it an 11th horn, a little one coming up from or among them, before whom three of the first horns were plucked out by the roots. And there in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man. Are you getting creepy? And a mouth speaking pompous words. Remarkable. He's going to be something. The Bible also tells us regarding this one that he's going to suffer that mortal head wound, but this time we look at it, and I hope you appreciate this. You read this in the book. Am I too excited about this tonight? You read earlier from the book of Revelation chapter 13. Now you're going to go back 2,700 years from right now, and you're going to read Zechariah 11:17. Woe to the worthless or idle, I-D-O-L, some of your old King James Bible says, shepherd, a false shepherd, a fake shepherd, a worthless shepherd, who leaves the flock. A sword shall be against his arm and against his, is it left eye? The Bible says right eye. Why does the Bible say right eye? I have no idea. But don't you think isn't it interesting? It's going to matter. Or else the Holy Spirit wouldn't have put it in there. Not his left eye, his right eye. So listen, the sword shall be against his arm, not arms, his arm. I'm going to guess, look, this is just my guess. If it's affecting his right side of his right eye, it's probably affecting his right arm. Just a guess. Which arm? I don't know. It just says arm, singular. His arm shall completely wither, and his right eye shall be totally blinded. We read it in the book of Revelation, chapter 13, that after this happens, he's going to appear to be healed, and the world's going to love this guy. Look at the sympathy that Trump received after he was shot there in Pennsylvania. Even people who were politically against him made comments when Trump got up and said, fight, 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 with his ear bleeding. They said, that's it, he won. Why? What were they meaning by that? The sympathy of the people would go upon Trump because he gave his life, so to speak, for the nation. That's the guy I'm going to vote for. You see that? People are moved like that. This guy is going to affect the entire world. And then, of course, you read it earlier, Revelation 13:3 says, I saw one of his heads as it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world marveled and followed the beast. Now, here we go on the bonus round. We were just goofing off so far. This is the bonus round about the Antichrist and his actions. Here we go. First one. This will work. He will ascend to power on a platform of peace. By peace, he will destroy many. That's in Daniel 8, verse 25. The world wants prosperity and peace. Just get me a leader, get me a government, get me somebody in power who will make me money, who I can make money. Good market, right? Leave me alone. Give me peace, give me money, and everybody's fine. The Antichrist knows this. Number two, he will be promoted and exalted by a miracle-working religious partner, the false prophet. That's Revelation 13, 11 through 12. Number three, he was and is not and is, and yet is, the book of Revelation says, in Revelation 17, verse 8, and that speaks of a demon spirit manipulating the Antichrist himself, and we know later on it is Satan himself. Number four, the world government over which he rules will be a communistic or socialistic government, Revelation 17, verse 14, and Revelation 13, 13 through 18. There's going to be a one world unified economy, religion, and worship system and currency all molded together. Number five, the Antichrist will be preceded by seven kings or rulers. He will be the eighth king. He will also be of the seven. That's in Revelation 17, verse 11. So far, there have been six: Egypt, Syria, Babylon, Medo-Persian, Greece, and Rome. So this goes all the way back to Daniel's day, and Daniel looks back in his past. Next slide. Number six. He will have a mouth speaking great things. Daniel 7, verse 8. Boastful things. Number seven. His presence will be more stout. That's what the King James says. He's going to be intimidating more than his fellows. He's going to be someone who will stand out when he takes power. Daniel 7, verse 20. Number eight, he will have a fierce countenance or intimidating countenance. He will be, think about his, have you ever seen somebody that is like legendary or famous or something? There's something weird. Are you guys with me? You guys driving? Have you ever seen somebody? I remember we had some friends come in from Israel. They wanted to go to Hollywood, and we hate that. Look, come on, if you live here, you know what I'm talking about. It's like, please, you know, the friends are going to be visiting us from out of the country. Oh, no. Because everybody wants to see Hollywood, and I want to see where the stars live. And it's like, oh, no, you don't. But we took them, and we told them, now listen, this is all a big... They don't live here. They might own these homes, but they're not dumb. They don't live here like it's like a zoo. You're not going to drive by and they're in the yard watering and you take out, you know, cookies and you try to feed, you know, Tom Cruise a cracker and throw him a treat. It's not like that. These people are in, they're in Italy and they're in South America. So we're preparing them for great disappointment. Right? You would do the same. You'd do that. So what do? We're in Hollywood. And at that time, Robin Williams walks by. And I didn't see him, but our friends from Israel did. And they went, there's Robin Williams. And Lisa and I went, yeah. And it was. And they said hi to him. And he said hello back. This is within an hour. And then the next thing, they said, well, we need to go over here because we need to see this guy. This, come on. And then I don't remember who it was. It was somebody big, though. It was like Stallone or Tom Cruise or something. And we couldn't believe it. So apparently, if you want to see movie stars in their own habitat, you need to take a Jew with you to that's visiting because it happened. But when you see them, you kind of wipe. That is him. By the way, they're always shorter than what you thought. Not too long ago, I was sitting on the lap. This is torture. This is the seats that Satan books for you. It's the last row of coach seats before first class. Why is it bad? Because you can smell the food they're eating. And the woman, she comes, she goes like this, and she shuts the curtain. She goes like this. And you're looking. And Chris Hollingsworth walked in. And I could almost touch him because he walked in the door. You know who he is? Oh. Anyway, he was tall. But when you see somebody that's famous, it's like, is that real? Is that real? It's kind of like it's not real. This guy, the Antichrist, he's going to show up on the scene. And people are going to go, ooh, is he real? What? There's an aura, a mystique. It's weird. I think our minds do that to us. Ooh, there they are. I remember being in Marine One, you know, the president's helicopter, when Tom Clinton, what's his name? Bill Clinton was the president. And I was sitting in the seat. He wasn't in there. He was in a meeting. And I got on the helicopter. I didn't sneak on. I knew the Marine that was guarding the helicopter. And I'm sitting on there, and I picked up the red phone. And I shouldn't say this right now. I could maybe go to jail. Who knows? But it's like, is this real? The Antichrist is going to have that thing where people will be starstruck by him. He will understand, number 9, intrigue and enigmas. Daniel 8:23 tells us. He will be able to solve political conundrums, impossible problems in the world. He will solve them. Wow. The Bible tells us in Daniel 8:25 that he will cause craft to prosper. That is an interesting word. It's a big Hebrew word. Go study it. He will cause craft to prosper. It means economies, but it also means dark economies. Dark things will prosper. Number 11, he assumes world-dominating power 3.5 years after he confirms the 7-year peace covenant or peace plan with Israel. He then will continue to reign for 42 months or 3.5 years, which is biblically 1,260 days, says the book of Revelation 13, verse 5. Number 12, the abomination of desolation, this is spoken by Daniel and by John and by Jesus, is the event that signals the beginning of this final 42-month or 3.5-year, 1,260-day period. That's found in Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. By the way, folks, if you care about Bible prophecy, Daniel chapter 9 is considered the holy of holies of Bible prophecy. If you miss Daniel chapter 9, you'll miss the entire prophetic scene. Number 13, he opposes and resists the Most High God, 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 4. Number 14, he will speak marvelous things against the God of gods, Daniel 11, 36. Number 15, he will exalt himself above all that is called God, 2 Thessalonians 2, 4, again, same verse, and for the third time, he will sit in the temple of God. That means Jerusalem's going to have a rebuilt temple someday, 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 4. Number 17, he will claim to be God or an incarnation of God, 2 Thessalonians 2, 4. Clearly, you need to read 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 4. He will take away the daily sacrifices from the temple, Daniel 11, 32. By the way, Jesus said the exact same thing. Listen to this. This is awesome. Get ready to say ooh and ah, because this is awesome. Jesus said, to the generation that is alive at that time, he spoke into the future, and he said to them, think about that. Back then, he said to them that are yet coming, when you see the abomination spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, let him who is on his housetop come down. Let him who is in the field not go back to get his jacket, but flee. Jesus prophesied that Daniel would desecrate, that Jesus prophesied that what Daniel was speaking of was the Antichrist desecrating the temple in the future. Wow. Yeah, three of you said wow. Where was I? Anybody know? 19? Wait, 19 says he will plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas in the glorious holy mountain. That's a quote out of Daniel 11:45. That's just interesting because it simply means Jerusalem. That's what it means. Between the mountains and the seas, that is the great sea, the Mediterranean, he plants his authority. 20, he will have power to make war with the saints and to overcome them. Revelation 13:7, and I told you earlier, Daniel 7, verse 21. Number 21, he will continue this war with the saints for 3.5 years. Daniel 7:21 and verse 25. Number 22, the last half of the 3.5 years of the 7-year tribulation period are called the Great Tribulation. So the tribulation is 7 years. The Great Tribulation is 3.5, the latter end of the seven. Don't get confused about that. The 7 years in Daniel chapter 9 are clearly the tribulation period. The first half is God's judgment on earth by deception and by peace. That happens through the Antichrist. And the latter half of God's wrath and judgment are the bowl and the trumpet and the seal judgments that you read about in your Bible. Number 23, during this time, the Antichrist will scatter the power of the holy people. That's the Jews, Daniel 12:7. Interesting. Did you hear that, Tucker? Did you hear that, Candace? Bible prophecy says the Antichrist will seek to scatter the Jewish people in the last days. So that means they're not going anywhere. The Bible says that when God brings them back into their own land in the last days, they will never again be uprooted. Think of that. They've got some rough times ahead like they have never seen in history. But it's not the end of them. There will never be an end to them because God says, I've chosen them. Even a remnant, he says, I will preserve. And that just drives anti-Semite, anti-Bible people crazy. But that's not your problem, is it? It's their problem. I'm having a hard time following the reference numbers tonight. 23, thank you. This is our Bible study together, huh? We'll have to do this together. Number 23, during this time, the Antichrist will scatter the people, scatter the power of the holy people. Daniel 12:7. We just talked that verse, or number 24. He will rule a mighty and strong kingdom. Daniel 7:7 says this. Number 25, he was given power over all kindreds, tongues, and nations, Revelation 13:7. Number 26, his kingdom will devour the whole earth. Wow. Number 27, he will have great military power that will stand behind him to enforce his laws. Daniel 11:31 says so. Number 28, he will try to change times and laws, and they will be given into his power for 3.5 years. Isn't that interesting? He's going to change the status quo of things. Number 29, he will give great honor to the God of fortresses. That should be a lowercase g, by the way, just saying. With gold, silver, jewels, and etc. Daniel 11:32. Number 30, he will prosper in everything that he does. Daniel 8:24. Number 31, he will not regard the God of his fathers, Daniel 11:37. There's two views on this. That if he does not regard the God of his fathers, that's a term that leads you to believe that he's of Jewish origin, which I personally believe that. But the other thing in Scripture, it says that he will not regard the God of his fathers nor the desire of women. Some people have said he'll be a homosexual. But I don't think it means that personally. I think that he doesn't desire, he's not concerned with the desire of women. It backs up the first view that if he's Jewish, the Jews believe that the Messiah will come via a female. We know that from the book of Isaiah, right? He will not regard that. In other words, I think he's going to be a Jew that's not orthodox in his belief system. He'll be progressive. Because do you think a Jew is going to accept what, a Gentile Messiah? I don't think so. Do you think the Jews are going to receive a Muslim Messiah? I don't think so. I think the Jews know that they are to receive a Jewish Messiah. But the one they're looking for, tragically, is the anti or instead of Christ. The Antichrist. Tragic. There's 31. 32. I should have kept reading. He does not regard the desire of women. Next group. The mark of the beast. Interesting. The mark of the beast will be the number. Yep, there's three that's described in that verse 11 of Revelation 14. The mark of the beast. Everybody talks about the mark of the beast. I remember way back when the mark of the beast was credit cards. No. The mark of the beast, the name or logo of his name. Three different things. You read it carefully, Revelation 14. Number 34, all that dwell upon the earth will worship him except those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. Revelation 15, 2. Number 35, he will have an image or a logo made after him. Revelation 15, 2. By the way, all tyrants do that. All tyrants put up gigantic statues of themselves and pictures of themselves in their cities or in their country. It's really weird. Very strange. It's just everywhere in the world like that. He will stand against the Prince of Princes. That's Jesus in Daniel 8, 25. He will fight against Jesus Christ at Armageddon. Revelation 7, 14. Doesn't turn out well for him, but. And at the second coming, Jesus Christ, the Lord, will consume him with the breath of his mouth. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. Number 39, Jesus will destroy him with the brightness of his coming. 2 Thessalonians 2, 8. That's going to be a good day. By the way, you're going to be coming back with Jesus on that. You're going to see that. You're going to see that Jesus will be in front, and you and I will see that happen in the second coming. Read Revelation 19. It's awesome. And number 40, he will be cast alive into the lake of fire, the Antichrist. The Antichrist will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Revelation 20, verse 10. Yeah, that's good news. That's excellent. And so these are some dynamics about the Antichrist that you probably wouldn't get in any kind of routine study. I understand that. Very interesting things about a very interesting individual. But we'll end with this. Satan does not know God's timetable on Bible prophecy. He can't. His understanding is limited. It's interesting that in the book of, I believe it's Peter, if I'm thinking correctly tonight, that Peter tells us that when the word of God is taught like it is tonight, that angels desire to listen in to those things that are being said. So there's a weird thing between the angelic realm, God, and us. Remember, the Bible says we've been created a little lower than the angels. But what does the Bible say in the book of Corinthians? It says that shouldn't we be able to work out our own problems among ourselves? Do we not know, the Bible says, that someday we shall judge the angels? Boy, are we going to get smart, huh? But what is remarkable is that Satan cannot know the timetable of things. So in every generation of every era, and I would argue back from our very first service in this series with the man Nimrod. He was a prototype of the Antichrist. That in every generation, Satan's got to have somebody ready. Because he doesn't know when things are going to go off. Could Adolf Hitler have been an attempt by Satan to have an Antichrist ready? What about even Nebuchadnezzar, who I do personally believe that Satan lost? But didn't Nebuchadnezzar say, isn't this my kingdom that I have built? And the whole world is under my command? Could it be today that there are those in the world, or maybe somebody's rising in the world, maybe unnoticed at this time, that through a series of situations, he will be elevated quickly to the front of the line? Let's stand. We're actually done. I don't say this to be rude. I'm not being rude at all. I'll just be honest. Isn't it interesting that in 2005, 2004, 2005, you didn't even know, you had never heard of a guy by the name of Barack Obama. Nobody had heard of him. I saw his first speech at the Democrat National Convention. I sat there with Lisa and I said, that guy is their answer. The crowd was absolutely in a swoon. Now, he's not the Antichrist. Can you imagine the Antichrist coming on the scene? Who is this guy? Just wait till you hear him. And he starts speaking. Satan knows how to control us. He knows how to deceive. My dear friend, please trust Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Please believe him when he says, I died on the cross for you, and 3 days I'm going to rise from the dead.
Yes.
For your justification. He died on the cross for our sins, for our salvation. He rose again from the dead for our justification.
Amen.
Trust him tonight. Put your faith in Jesus and live forever. Because listen, every day you don't is every day you wait. And every day you wait, you're that much closer to being deceived, because less light will be coming into your heart and mind because you have put it off and put it off and put it off until, God forbid, but until you no longer can hear the voice of God. Don't do that.
Amen.
Father God, we pray tonight in Jesus' name, Lord, that you would move in our midst and in our lives and look deep within our own souls. And Lord, if there's any of us here together, those watching online, that we're not right with you. We're either full of ourselves or we're full of religion or we're full of something, but we're not full of the Holy Spirit because we still think we're something. We still think maybe we don't need you. Lord God, we pray that you would blow the wind of the Spirit of God to bring us to our knees humbly, that we might say Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So Lord, tonight I pray that if there's a man or a woman, a boy or a girl that has not made that decision, that you would not let them rest day or night until they bow the knee, that they might inherit eternity for the great price that you paid. We thank you for the blood of the Lamb, Jesus. In his name we pray, and all God's people said,
amen.
God bless you guys. You want to close in a song real quick? Yeah.